McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sigurd scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
I feel it's like the line from the Blues Brothers film, Ross. It's 3:30, there's two games to review, there's two games to preview. We've got a competition and I'm drinking a can of Monster. Let's go, it's Falkirk Daft, everyone, how are you? Well, what a kind of turbulent week that was. A win against Montrose at Links Park, guaranteed us playoffs, of course. And then at the weekend, Saturday, we'll get into it in a bit, but yeah, just... Hopefully a draw should be enough to get a second place. I think it will be. We will talk it over on this week's Falkirk Daft as we do the whole doubleheader. And as ever, I'm joined by the Ginger God of Pod, the one-man band in the main stand. It's Mr. Ross Wayne. I hope you've got a can of Monster because it's going to be a belter today, Ross.
I've not, mate. Water's as good as it gets this afternoon, so that's what it is. That's
When you wake up at 4:15 in the morning to go and produce a breakfast show... I very rarely drink Monster, but I saw it was on special. I was going to go for a Lucozade, and then I went for that. I didn't realise you have to be over 18 to buy Monster.
Didn't know that either.
I had to get the old ID check at the old, you know, it was like...
self-service, but yeah.
Red light went off, and I had to get...
I was going to say, because there's no way a staff member's judged you to be under 18.
I'll still get away with it. Don't you worry about that. right, so let's get into it. First of all, I think we've got to say, oh God, I can't. I'm not going to say congratulations.
Don't say it.
No, I'm not going to say it. Because I saw Airdrie tweeting, congratulations on Dunfermline winning the league. Oh, football friends. Airdrie and Dunfermline. Though I did see a couple of Airdrie supporters just saying, delete this.
Yeah.
But they've won the league, Ross. It's a fucking bitter pill to swallow. I've got a few points in this, but with three games to go and then 13 points ahead and win the league, I don't think it's good enough.
Nope.
And I think a wee bit the cup final is kind of papering over, but James McPake's side have been organised. They've not played the best of football. I think Dunfermline supporters will even admit that, but they have just been a well-disciplined side. And the fact they were in such a state coming down into this league, he's organised them well. They've got some good players there. Gutted we've missed out on Kyle Benedictus at the start of the season, by the way, because it's been a big difference for Dunfermline this season. But yeah, there they go. They've won the league. Fuck.
Yeah. Do you know, it was lost weeks ago, wasn't it?
But it was.
I think we all kind of made our peace with it. They've only lost one game, which is as good as it's going to get. I think... Obviously, I'd be shocked if they lost any of their next couple of games that they've got left, but you never know. But one defeat all season's exceptional going. And I think what we lost, 6 or something like that, in a normal season might have been good enough, but it's not been a normal season. You've had two big teams there gunning for it from the start, and we've just not been good enough. So, but we've still got a second chance. We've got the playoffs, which is the focus. I know we're all looking forward to the semi-final and what have you, but the playoffs is far bigger for me. And hopefully it's one that we can get through.
No, exactly. Well, like I said to my Dunfermline supporting friend at work today, if we win the playoffs and get to the final of the Scottish Cup, suddenly you will have a better season than you. Do you know what I mean? So suddenly it's that, you know. So it's big ifs. It's big ifs, but if you're standing here come June and you're into the championship and you've got yourself into a Scottish Cup final, what a season.
Absolutely. Listen, if it transpires that way, then that's our moment to crow. But until we hope it doesn't.
See the amount of Dunfermline supporters filling up our timeline. Honestly, just give it a rest. Give it a rest. I know you really enjoy listening to Falkirk Daft, guys, but for fuck's sake, just give it a rest on the timeline. Jesus.
I guess so. It's not as if we were even like poking them. I don't think we actually... proactively. Well, no, listen, not in previous
attempt, there was a, I have to say, Mr. Ross Rain. Mr. Ross Rain is the chief Dunfermline poker, because in previous times across the season, you have certainly tried to catch a few.
Not any time recently. It's been
for good reason.
It's been months since we actually went fishing. But I remember the last time, and I noticed they've been casting it up. I think back in early February, they went 7 points clear or something like that. And I'm sure we might have had a game in hand or two at the time. And I remember it was the Dunfermline podcast lad who had messaged saying, oh, I hope you're having a good weekend type thing. And I'm thinking, that's far too early. Obviously, it has transpired as how he hoped it would and how they all hoped it would. But talk of them being champions in February was just ridiculous. So they deserved a bite back then. But yeah, not so much now.
They certainly got their ammunition now. I did see the guys from That's Never 10 Yards copying us into a post from Wagner, not the composer, but the X Factor star singing something. Yeah.
I didn't even listen to it. I just moved on.
Block, mute. Yeah, that's what I do. Anyway, so they've had their fun. I'm glad you're actually here with us today, Ross, because I thought you'd be on the training ground with Bal, preparing for the Champions League, mate.
If you
haven't seen this, check out our Twitter. We retweeted this. John Harding pointed out to us that our very own Ross Wayne is the spitting image of Bal coach Heiko Vogel. I think that's how you pronounce his name, but it is uncanny, down to the fact even that he is wearing a Stone Island jacket. Now, I thought initially this had been photoshopped onto Heiko Vogel, that someone had taking the picture of Heiko Vogel and photoshopped the Stone Island badge on, but no, it's there for all to see. So yeah, this is your brother from another mother, Heiko Vogel.
I had 15, at least 15 messages across the evening and into the next again day, even more so from folk from work who are like Rangers and Celtic fans and stuff. Should have saw you on TV last night, Ross.
So I'll coach a Heiko Vogel. Yeah. Well, it kind of kicked off a bit of a trend, Ross, because once we posted this, Brian Flynn, owner of Behind the Wall, a big supporter of Falkirk, of course, he then posted up a picture of Enzo Fernandez, Chelsea striker, who, when you look at it, and you'll see this on our social medias on Twitter right now as well, is a spitting image of Kai Kennedy.
Does look very similar, doesn't he? He does. Yeah. That was a really good shout out, as was the Burrow one, wasn't it?
Well, that's the thing. We then throw out other players in the squad have lookalikes, and someone's posted Ludacris looks like Romain Burrow. I tell you what, Ross, it's ludicrous that Burrow isn't his starting.
Exactly. I like what you did there. And you're right on both counts. But that was uncanny. Burrow just needs to tie back the dreads, and they would be exactly the same.
Absolutely, get the chains on. So my favourite, though, has to go. Croft gave us this one. Thanks very much, by the way, to Alan Robertson, who posted the Ludacris and Burrow one. But the best one is Crawford Burton on Twitter, who's posted up a big Hendo, Liam Henderson, is a spin image of Neil from the Inbetweeners. And I can see that, because Hendo's a big guy as well, and you got Neil from the Inbetweeners. So
it is class. The particular picture he used of Neil from the Inbetweeners, it just exactly looks like him, didn't it? And it is, it's brilliant.
So there you go. If you see any lookalikes, or think anyone in our squad looks like another person, let us know, because we'd love to hear it here on Falkirk Daft. So I get in touch with your Falkirk lookalikes, celebrity lookalikes, so get that on the go, like our friend over here, Heiko Vogel. Bucket hats, Ross, tell us about bucket hats.
Yes, they've continued even to sell exceptionally well. I believe the large extra large is currently sold out. However, we're still selling them online because the guys at Citrus have assured us there's going to be a delivery, I think, by midweek. So anybody who's still to order will get one. But well over 100 sold, which is brilliant. I saw a few at the stadium on Saturday, which was kind of cool to see as well. They're literally flying off the shelves, the virtual shelf. So if you want one, please do hit the link that we always share. The last day to guarantee one, if you're buying it for Hampden, would be a week on Wednesday. So you have to buy by at least lunchtime a week on Wednesday to ensure delivery ahead of the trip to Hampden.
Yeah, and the club try to cut us our grass. I've saw them putting up a few pictures. Listen, can I just say as well, obviously, all the monies that we make from the bucket hats is going back into the club next season through. Probably we're probably looking at doing player sponsorship or some more sponsorship with the club next season. So buy your take your preference, whether you get the Falkirk official one or one of ours. But get your bucket hats on the link below. Going into this talking semi final, I've got to talk about Inverness's form, by the way. Slightly concerns me considering they've got 15 points from the last 18.
Yeah, they're doing well. I've been keeping my kind of one eye on it. But then, listen, it's a semi-final. It's a one-off at a different stadium. You just never know. We almost need to find their form, and we hope that they can have our form on the day. So it's going to, listen, John, it's going to be a tough game. I hope with a win on Tuesday night against Edinburgh, it almost, if not mathematically, it almost kind of gives us that second place in the second game at home, and maybe for the Alloa game we can look to freshen the team up. And if that meant that Alloa finish above Airdrie, then so be it.
I think we 8 points, and obviously we'll have two games to go. Airdrie will have three games to go after that. It's, if we beat Edinburgh, it's a big if we beat Edinburgh on Tuesday night, I actually think that draw at the weekend is probably enough to do us, considering they've got Queens and Dunfermline and their bogey team Edinburgh, but yeah, we'll talk about it a bit later on. Air Force One's been in touch with us, said, morning folks, if you've already said it, apologies, but if not, can you give a shout out to Grant Henry from Nutmeg Magazine? That's issue 26 of Nutmeg Magazine, if you want to check that out. He's talking about Chris Waddle's short stint with the Bairns. Chat with Chris about that. Great read, and he quite rightly calls out the abysmal kit that he had to play in, the blue and blue checkered.
Yeah, probably one of the worst that Chris Waddle's ever played in, I would imagine.
It was one of the worst. I think it's got kind of cult status now.
It has now, doesn't it? Yeah.
But I tell you what, see if that had just been the dark blue and white rather than the blue on blue, it would have been awesome. An absolute all-timer. I don't know why they went for the blue and the white blue, but the blue, no, if they went for a navy blue and white, it would have been an absolute classic.
Well, the rumour was back in the day that it was George Fulston's daughter who had decided on the strip for that season. So why, as you say, why she went with the sky blue and the navy, I'll never know, but the white and the navy would have been a real cool alternative to the Czech Republic's. Croatia, I beg your pardon. Yeah. Their iconic red and white checks. That would have been kind of cool.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Football fans in training, the Falkirk football fans in training have been in touch. They've been very quiet recently. Big Stevie Gibson and Dougie have been in touch about that. They've been quiet because they've been getting pumped in the last few weeks. However, they did get a win at the weekend, and I think this is a brilliant, brilliant name for a football team in training against Alloa Unathletic, by the way.
That's pretty clever, isn't it?
They won 7-2 there at the weekend. The next match is against Glasshire United at the community pitch. So get along to that if you can. Dougie also goes on to say they're taking a group to Iceland at the start of the month to take part in the North Atlantic Cup, which is arranged via one of the local teams. So there you go, Falkirk are in Europe.
I think, John, they've been there, haven't they? Was that not what I'd read online? I saw some pictures of them anyway.
Oh, maybe they have, yeah. Oh, yes. They've been in there. So
yeah, I saw some of the pictures. They were checking in at the Edinburgh Airport bar on the morning of whatever match it was. So
football fans in training, everyone. A greasy Wetherspoons breakfast and a pint at the airport.
Standard.
I like that. They're also inviting Falkirk Daft to come down on a Monday night to see what the guys get up to. I think this is something we should do, Ross.
Take the I'd be up for that. Yeah, we kick about that.
Used to do football fans and training stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, a few years ago. Yeah, pre-COVID. There's a few people who've been through that programme, and it's really, really worthwhile in doing. So, yeah, just to echo the guys, anybody who wants to go down, definitely get involved. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're looking to start a ladies football fans and training group as well to train at the same time. So it'd be great to get people involved in that. If you want to, you know, you like your football and you want to get a bit of fitness around you, that is. But then on the other hand, they've launched a thing called the Haggis Supper Club. This is when any of the guys that are injured still come down, sit in the stands for a chat, encourage the other guys on. But first, they visit Julio's in town for a haggis supper, which they eat when watching the Side game. A couple of guys have said that this could just be as important to help as football. It is, you know, it's not just about football. It's obviously the training. I guess it's about the mental health aspect of it, you know. And so, but yeah, I don't know if they'd encourage that haggis suppers.
No, probably not.
Love it, though. I tell you what, that'll get us down on a Monday. But yeah, we'll definitely pop down. I'd love it. I'd love to, because they're a good bunch of lads. I met them in hospital a few weeks ago and they were absolutely cracking. Right, now we have got a competition to win a Kai Kennedy signed recreation of his goal against Ayr in the quarterfinals. That is the t-shirt that Falkirk Football Society are currently got on sale, and it's thanks to the design that if you've not seen it, it's a great Twitter called at FitBadTweets who do like goal recreations and stuff. And they've got the auto design from FitBadTweets, and they put it on a t-shirt, and they've got a couple signed by Kai Kennedy, and we've got a couple to give away, Ross.
We do, yes. So it's a bit of a short turnaround, because obviously, in case someone wants to, whilst it is signed, they may still want to wear it to the semi-final. So the guys at the Falkirk Sports Society have kindly donated two t-shirts. One is in a adult male size, and the other one is in an adult female size. So there's two t-shirts there. So all we're going to ask you to do is get in touch. So just all you need to do is drop us an email at comp@falkirkdaft.co.uk. All you need to do to enter is simply send us an email and let us know that you you want to be entered into the competition, and you just need to let us know whether it's the adult male or adult female t-shirt that you want to win. And as I say, both are signed by Kai Kennedy. They're being held at the club, so get your entries in to us by close of business. In fact, end of day Friday this week, and we can then let the winners know, and we can let the club know who to expect to collect the t-shirts next week as well. So we short turnaround on it, but yeah, just drop us an email at comp@falkirkdaft.co.uk with your name and whatever size you're looking for. Which t-shirt you're after.
Right, I'm going to make it a bit harder than that, Ross. I think that's
too easy. Right, okay. Right.
So all you need to do is do what Ross says, keep an eye for it on our socials. But also, on top of putting your name down, you've got to tell us who your favourite Kennedy is, okay? Right, so John F, Mr, Susan, any one of the Kennedys, just tell us your favourite Kennedy. And also,
who's Susan Kennedy?
From Neighbours.
Oh, that's way before my time.
Susan Kennedy! You're joking.
Wait, was she married to Carol Kennedy?
Aye.
I know who that is then. Right,
there
okay.
You go, Carl. You doctor. There's another good Kennedy. So give us your favourite Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy from the wrestling, probably my favourite Kennedy. But there you go. You drop us a line, your favourite Kennedy, and that's all you have to do. All right? Yeah. Brilliant. All right, okay, let's move on to some club news now. 7,500 tickets sold so far for the semi-final, Ross.
Brilliant.
100 tickets left for the North Standard, I read.
Yes, just over 100 tickets left. Apparently, these were being removed from the online ticket system, but the last I saw, they were still on sale. So, but according to the club, you need to go down to the shop if you want one of the last remaining North Stand tickets. And I'm so pleased that that's practically sold out, if not sold out by the time the game is, because as we said last week, it means that there'll be a huge section of Falkirk fans between the North and the West Stands. No gaps, which will probably be the case in the Inverness end. So there'll be no gaps at all, and for the bulk of the Falkirk fans. Hopefully, at the rate they're selling, maybe, what is it, about 100 tickets a day they seem to be selling just now, so we might get to about 8,500, 9,000 come.
You always have a rush at the end as well. I'm really hoping we can get over the 9 and maybe reach the 10 as well.
It would be brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But there's, as we say, what a fantastic a day. Hopefully it's going to be. We'll enjoy it, I'm sure, regardless. Treat it as a bonus, but these playoffs are... These playoffs are the big thing for us, John. But I know it is. It's nice to have to look forward to, and it's brilliant that the tickets have sold really well as well.
Yeah, and talking tickets, season tickets, now it's that time of the year. It's unbelievable. They're on sale, and obviously there's been an increase in the season ticket. I think we're all kind of expecting it with inflation. But, you know, it doesn't matter if we're, you know, the new price is going to be guaranteed for a minimum of two seasons, which is nice. So whether they won the Championship or the, hopefully the Premiership. There's obviously the discount in early bird purchases before the end of June, plus the option to pay three interest-free instalments. And if you're signed up to the Falkirk Supporter Society or the new Forever Falkirk Fund, you can pay it over 12 months. And the great thing, free season tickets for all kids under 12 still as well, Ross.
Yeah, loads of good stuff there, John. I wasn't too shocked that the prices were going up because they have been static for about 4 or 5 years. Yeah. So not overly shocked that they've went up. Listen, the club's bills have went up. Our bills have went up. So it's probably not the best time for everybody. But I think with it being static for the last 4 or 5 years, everybody can probably appreciate that we need a bit of an increase. And it's not the worst increase in the world that I've seen. And as you say, there's loads of incentives there for existing support society members. You've got potential new Forever Falkirk donors as well, so to do the monthly installments. But yeah, attractive pricing, and even more so if we were fortunate to do something that Queen's Park look potentially like doing, which is to get promoted and then get promoted again.
Queen's Park are done.
Well, they've still got the playoffs. You never know.
That is
still got the playoffs there. But if we could mirror something similar, then what an achievement that would be. And you'd certainly be getting your money's worth watching in 2 years' time, watching Premiership football for the increase that we've just saw. So, and as you say, the fact that kids continue to be free of charge with the sponsorship that comes in from the various companies over the years, testament to the commercial guys once again.
Yeah, absolutely. And hats off to the club as well, because they've now acknowledged the Falkirk Support Society. So I think initially it was going to be just Forever Falkirk Fund that you'd be able to do it in 12 installments, but now you can obviously do it through the Falkirk Support Society as well, which is great for everyone that's a member. So if you are struggling, you're up against the grind, you've got that option now to pay it over 12, in 12 installments across the year, which kind of lessens the burden a bit. So
yeah.
Hats off for the club for that. And obviously, check out all the details on the Forever Falkirk Fund are on the club's website. Moving on, shout out again to the Falkirk women, strolling it again, 4-0 away to St Mirren yesterday. Susan Wyatt with another two. Can we get her in the men's team, do you think?
Scoring for fun, absolutely.
Smashing them in. Eva Rule got another one, and well done to Ellie Murray, who got her first goal for the Falkirk women at St Mirren yesterday. So they are flying at the moment. Hopefully the push is on for that promotion up the league. The other bit of club news, you probably saw it when you were at the stadium on Saturday, the CRS Smith, the Fix, Brandon's went up on the main stand. Looks really good. I mean, and hats off again to the commercial team, because that's it's a big sell, trying to sell that sponsorship on the North Stand. And, they've done a cracking job, and it just means more revenue coming to the club from the two Grahams.
Yeah, absolutely. It's as we've spoken about before, the money that's been brought in this year commercially has been absolutely fantastic, on a par, I believe, with where we were at pre-COVID.
Don't mention
which is absolutely true. Which is phenomenal, really. And obviously, it's, do you know what's nice as well? It's on the back of the stand, so it's proper advertising for external part of the stadium, right? And then obviously they're going to have the Legends graphics up on the interior, so that us that are pitch facing can see the graphics that will go up at some stage with the different Legends that have now been picked.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So well done, the commercial team. More revenue for the club. It's always good news. And ahead of the Edinburgh game, we'll talk about the Edinburgh game a bit later on. But Benny Tees, if you want to see a sign-in, get there on Tuesday night. See if there's anybody hanging about Benny Tees, because if you make a purchase for a main meal in the restaurant ahead of the Edinburgh game, you got a free match day ticket. So there you go. Go and have that's a great shout, isn't it? We should go for a wee fish supper at Benny Tees.
Supper Tuesday, and that's the pun at the club.
I think that's one of the, our athletics taking hard to beat, but supper Tuesday is brilliant. Get yourself down to Benny Tees ahead of the game on Tuesday. Again, big supporters of the club, and you'll be able to, I like how you say, fish and chips and football, always a winning combination. Benny T's, get yourself down there and you get a match ticket if you order a supper ahead of the Edinburgh match. But that love a game. You know, I think I'm almost tempted to do that myself tomorrow night. Get a wee fish supper and then walk down to the game. It'd be quite nice.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be a nice idea.
Let's get into the football now, however. We've got two big games to talk about, Montrose and Airdrie, and we're going to do that in the company of our guest pundit this week. It's Greg Lockie.
How are you doing, guys? All right?
Hey, sir, how you doing?
Good, mate. Good. You go under Miss Chandler Bonbon on Twitter. Have I just kind of given your superhero alter ego away, ever?
Well, that was my original Twitter name when I first took it out, and it's just never changed for the, 10, 12 years I've had it, so I just left it.
Why Miss Chandler Bonbon?
I think it's with friends. Mine, it was Miss Chandler Bon.
Yes.
And then I've just left it and I've just put Bonbon instead of Bon. So,
okay, well, obviously a regular contributor to Falkirk Daft, so appreciate that, Greg, and thanks for coming on the show. Two games to talk about then, guys. Last Tuesday, we'll kind of whiz through the Montrose game. Great to get a result up at Lynx Park. Montrose 1, Falkirk 2. Kai Kennedy back on form with two goals. One, a header. Yes, you heard that. A header. And the other one, a delicious free kick. Ross, you were there. What do you make of it?
Do you know, it was just amazing that we won up at Montrose, to be honest, because we've not got the best record up there. And the weather was absolutely atrocious. I think that's the wettest I've ever been at a football game, to be honest. And just to get through the 90 minutes, obviously we made it tough, as we always do the last 10 minutes. But the weather played a huge, huge part. As soon as the ball left our half, it was coming right back with the gale force winds. So just really chuffed that we got the win, to be honest.
Yeah, Greg, sticking with the diamond in midfield there, obviously, as well. Hendo, Jordan Allen and Kennedy came into the side in replacement of McGinn, Oliver and Morrison. How do you think the diamond worked with Allen up front with Burrow?
See, I think Allen, he ran his socks off in that game, but I just think For Burrell up front, I think he needs to play off some days. That's like, say, Oliver. I mean, I know Oliver gets a lot of stick, but I think with that diamond, I think they're the two that need to play. I think Oliver needs to play, whereas maybe if Allen was to play off Oliver and he was to do the running in behind, that might work as well, because I don't know if that's how they worked at Clyde when he played in a two and he scored a lot of goals for Clyde. But the first half, we looked really well, comfortable, could have been three or four up. I think Burrell missed a chance right at the end as well with the first half, and then as Ross said, the second half, even when you're watching that the ball was coming back, they were getting free kicks. It wasn't even look like they were even taking a swing to kick the ball, and it was heading right towards the 6 yard line. And then the usual way, about 6-7 minutes ago, we concede a goal, and you're sitting, you're like on your edge, you're going, oh, here we go again. But luckily we held on and we got the 3 points for the first time in Montrose for a while. So
yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Kai Kennedy's goals in just a minute, but that goal at the end there, it's been reflective of what we've seen over the last, in fact, the last season. You know, we just can't seem to shut out a game. We saw it again on Saturday, we saw it against Dunfermline. What do you put that down to, Roscoe?
We seem to just switch off, John, don't we? I don't know what it is. Is it the defensive hearing? Like, I know we got a message off one of our good mates yesterday, and he was talking about the fact that our best, statistically, our best defensive pairing is actually Donaldson and Henderson. And obviously, since Henderson's moving to midfield, we've seen big positives in the midfield area, but actually, we're not on a great run with the defensive areas. And also, as much, I like Big Kinnear, but he seems to have a mistake at least once a game in him. And is there an opportunity for PJ Morrison to maybe stake a claim for a game on Tuesday night?
Yeah, it's we'll get into our interest. We'll talk about this stat once we come to the Airdrie game, because there's some really interesting stuff in there which we've got sent. But, you know, 2-1, Kai Kennedy, we talked about formation and we talked about Allen and Burrell playing up front. How do you think Kai did in that kind of free role that we saw Morrison take up against Dunfermline, Greg?
He dunk away. Obviously, he's got into the box a lot more, and he's got an end of that cross. And as you say, Kennedy getting a headed goal. It was like Messi in that Champions League final that he scored against Man United, up leaping like a salmon and putting it in. But and then his free kick, he can, you know, he can hit from from distance, and I think he said in his interview after the Ayr game that he's been told by his dad to start having more shots, and you can see when he gets the dead ball, he's good at it. But I still think his best position's out in that left with Morrison to the other side and coming in. But again, a lot of teams are picking up on that now, and they're putting more people on each side to stop us. So I think the change that McGlynn's doing against Dunfermline and then Montrose has caught a lot of people off guard, and I think that's potentially how he might go ahead in the sort of bigger games. He's maybe just like going to just stick with the one up front, because then with more or less win tomorrow and we've probably secured second, so it's just about maybe trying things, but he's always going to stick to his usual formation, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think Kennedy was good there, but I think he is better where he can cut in and maybe have a few shots at goal.
Yeah, it was a great free kick, and you know, I was talking on Saturday, you know, we've got a lot of good free kick takers on that side now. When you look at Kennedy, Morrison, Donaldson can hit one, Max looks like he can hit one as well. So it's something we've not really seen at Falkirk for a while, but we've scored quite a few free kicks this season, you know. So it's good stuff to see. Highlight of the night though, Ross, a new song for Brad McKay.
Yeah, there was, yeah. So fair play. Do you know, I'll call it out, fair play to absolutely every single person that went up. 220 Falkirk fans officially, apparently. One of the coldest, wettest nights, as I said, and the banter from probably more so the younger element of the crowd that was up there. But yeah, so Brad McKay is to the tune of the Death March from Star Wars. So Brad McKay, and on repeat. And listen, I was on my head all the way home, all day Wednesday, and then I managed to forget about it until Saturday, and then somebody started singing it, and I was like, "What is happening here?"
I think it actually, you told me about this on Saturday, and I think it's actually my favourite Falkirk chant ever. I'm a massive Star Wars fan, so I'm just like, I love that. So I will be up for singing that if it does happen.
And I think we've got to give big Brad some credit, though, because the start of the season, he was absolutely hopeless at right back. He was played there, and again, last season he was poor as well, but I would probably say he'll probably be the first defender on the team sheet now, because he's been great since he's come back in. It's Cole that's been a bit ropey the past few games. But again, is that maybe just a confidence thing that he needs back? I would probably say it's from the Dunfermline game has been.
It's interesting to say that. I noticed there was I just felt there was a lack of confidence from Cole. But he kind of grew into himself on Saturday. But we'll talk about that in a minute. More banter from Ryan Williamson as well, I believe, Ross.
Yeah,
as well.
We've enjoyed the banter about Ryan Williamson this year, but actually, so he was warming up behind the goals on Tuesday night, and we're obviously 2-0 up at this point, and the young team started singing, Ryan, what's the score? He didn't flinch either. He didn't even flinch.
I mean, that was us cementing the playoff place, which is great to see, and it means at least we're in the playoffs, definitely. Come the end of the season, and not we don't have that worry anymore. But moving on then to Saturday, and I think a lot of the team sheet kind of hit everyone, and everyone was like, "What? This Diamond worked." Diamond kind of worked. We played well against it. It's two silly mistakes getting against Dunfermline. The Diamond seemed to work. We seemed to have, you know, after that kind of run of, you know, bad run, it seemed to work. And then you got the team sheet out on Saturday, and he's went back to the 4-3-3. McGinn, Morrison and Oliver coming back in at the sacrifice of Romain Burrell, Jordan Allen and Aidan Nesbitt, who all dropped onto the bench. Did you see that coming, Ross?
No, I didn't at all. And I don't want to skip right to his post-match interview, but he obviously told us why he made the changes in the post-match interview. And I kind of get it. So it's worked against Airdrie before, but then it was 2 months ago, and we've dropped an in-form Romain Burrell just because of something that happened 2 months back, and that didn't make a lot of sense to me, to be honest. And he quite rightly got an awful lot of attention for the crowd on Saturday, John, and I'm glad he eventually made the changes he did. It felt like he was holding off for them to actually score, which is a bit mind-boggling as well.
I guess you're in the same boat as us, Greg, and just were sort of baffled a wee bit by the changes made, especially with, I mean, at the Burrell, to be fair, looking at the highlights and intros, you guys will be able to tell me better. Missed a few chances, probably should have gotten the score sheet, but at the same time, you know, he is probably our most informed striker at the moment. Were you surprised with the changes as well, Greg?
I was quite surprised as well, because with Burrell, he's needing some games as well. He's not played for a while, and go back to like the Queen of the South game, we got beat, he missed that sort of sitter near the end. If he had a few games on his belt, probably would have scored there, like he scored at the end there on Saturday. But I wasn't completely surprised that he went back to that for a sort of bigger game, because I don't think he's want to sort of deal his cards to show Airdrie what will happen if maybe we play this sort of different formation. So he's maybe just going, well, play what they think we're going to play and then change it up. But for me, it was exactly the same as the first game against Airdrie at the stadium at the start of the season. I think we dominated the first half, got ahead, and then we just let them into the game. And then two silly mistakes, a corner again. The height in our team, how we lose headers for corners is beyond me. Keepers really tall as well, need to come out, be more commanding. And then the second goal is just, it's safety first, even put out for a corner. I don't know why the keeper needs to come for that. Brad Mackay's there as well. They could have just done something with it, but the boy up front, he scores all the time for Airdrie. He's a dangerous guy. He's a poacher, but give him that space for the first goal, I mean, he's got to put that in, and then obviously the penalty. But again, we're lucky near the end actually, because we didn't do really much after Airdrie scored, and then he brought the subs on and we scored. You've got to remember, it was a decent ball in for Yates as well, and big Hendo at the back post and put in. But I say it was quite disappointing after, I said half time, I was thinking they've not been great.
Yeah.
And they're meant to have been the informed team scoring all these goals. But
well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you looked at, actually, I was very surprised. I thought more would have come from Airdrie as well. There was only kind of two sections of the stand, North Stand full.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was a big game. The Elliott's flag was even out on Saturday. It was a big game. And for the amount of stick and everything I've seen from Airdrie supporters, they must just still be hiding behind their keyboards, because I didn't think there was a great Airdrie support, especially they've been in such fine form at the moment. And seeing when Airdrie, I was expecting, especially in that first half, I was expecting a hell of a lot more considering the run they've been on.
Yeah, no, I would have said so, John. It was quite disappointing, actually, how few of them came through. They were noisy, though.
They were.
And the flip side, I thought the Falkirk crowd overall was really, I don't mean in terms of number, but in terms of volume, it was really, really quiet on Saturday, which was weird, because as Greg just said, the first half, like, we were all over them. Like, we were the team in the first half, and it just, yeah, it was just so quiet. But Airdrie, I thought the game plan worked to an extent, because they never looked like scoring seven or eight goals like they have been in recent weeks. So I suppose we need to think that's a, not that we should be fear of Airdrie ever. And I don't mean that in a big headed way, but it's League One, it's Airdrie, and I'd be the same if we're talking about Dunfermline. These are teams that we should be capable of beating. No worrying about them, do you know what I mean?
I mean, we came out, we played well in that first half, like you say, it was a half of very few chances, but when we got our chance, we obviously took it. Great work from Morrison on the right. Morrison again, he's been very quiet the last kind of month and a half, but I mean, you know, he got well down that right, good shot, you know, parried by the keeper. Now, Oliver, I thought initially it was a shot, but I don't know. I think it was maybe a pass to Kennedy. I don't know if it was or not. He certainly hasn't been credited with an assist when I looked at the BBC stats, Gary Oliver. But Kai Kennedy, great composure. You know, just saunters around the defender, puts it in the back of the net. Decent goal from him, and a player that's in good form at the moment after having a wee quiet patch, you know?
Yeah, I think the way Oliver's body's set, it looks as if he's going to pass, but you don't know. It's a good goal at the end of the day, but Kennedy's got a good record against Airdrie as well, which is quite promising. And going back to saying about the fans there, probably if we get Airdrie in the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if we fill that stand that we usually get, and probably they might have to open the stand behind the goal. I'd say we'll probably take a good backing through there.
Absolutely.
Even if we were to as well win the semi before that as well, the town's going to be absolutely, like, bouncing. Everybody will be through into these playoffs, the stadium will be ready for it. So, but even if we don't get through, I think I've noticed the start of the season, there's a lot better feeling around the club right now as well. The family feeling's back as well. You see a lot more kids coming to games. All the wee kids in the stand and at the weekends, they're the ones that are shouting and that when it's quiet. It's good to see the kids coming back again, because the last few seasons it's just been a shambles. Now we're getting the sort of next generation coming through, which is good, and the team are kind of showing it on the park. But to get a trip to Hampden as well for the youngsters as well will be good, and that'll maybe set them off.
It could. The trip to Hampden will also breed an element of new fan as well, Greg, because if you think back to 97 or 2009 or 2015, these kind of games do bring out new fans, because they'll, like, a kid will come along with their family, or a lapsed fan will come back and they might keep going again.
Yeah.
But you're right, the playoffs are a different beast, and the fans will be up for it. The stadium will be full. Whoever we play away from home, it'll be absolutely rammed. Do you know, it could be a potential ticket issue. Probably not so much Airdrie, but if you were to play Alloa,
yeah,
get, what, maybe 1,200, 1,300 tickets? That's a ticket scramble and a half there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, first half, Airdrie, you know, not a lot of chances for them. Steve McGinn had a, you know, he had a shot there at the end, but there was an earlier chance as well. Steve McGinn, I don't understand why he doesn't shoot more, because we obviously know he's got it in his locker, but it was a chance, you know, when he tried to slide it out to the right rather than taking a shot at goal. And I mean, like I say, it was very few chances, but you just, I really wish we had scored from Gary Oliver. Blatantly, I don't know if you saw this, Greg, blatantly handballed it out onto the left wing. It was, and I just thought, and they were going mental in the Airdrie back. Reece McCabe was going mental, got talking to, quite rightly so, because it was a terrible decision from Graham Granger, this week's clown in charge.
Don't get started on the officials in this league, and it's unbelievable what the officiating.
I was just like, we're due one of those, and I just thought, see, if we go on to score for this, it'll be a beautiful
game. It would have been beautiful, wouldn't it?
It wasn't to be. Reece McCabe, talking about him there, subbed himself on at half time. I think he actually, being on the park, made a bit of a difference. He was up there, he was taking free kicks, throw-ins, corners, put himself in at certain defence in replacement of Aaron Taylor Sinclair. I think he really put a bit of a galvanised Airdrie in that second half by being on the park. I thought at first this could go one way or the other, and it seemed to go in a more positive way. I know the Airdrie supporters aren't a fan of when he puts himself on the park, but it certainly galvanised the team, because they came out, you know, and they worked out the game plan. And I just wonder if we're a bit more savvy, if we'd maybe switched to a diamond at half-time, I think we'd have been seeing a very different game in that second half. Because I just thought, right, Airdrie didn't know what to expect. We would come out with a diamond, we would come out with a 4-3-3. They didn't settle onto the game, because it seemed like they were kind of at a halfway house. But in the second half, they're like, right, okay, they're about the 4-3-3. Let's reorganise, let's do this. And obviously, McCabe coming onto the park. And it just, two goals, which, again.
Silly errors again, John. Yeah. And I know Greg's mentioned this earlier, but for the first goal, it's criminal how many set pieces we lose goals from, and it wasn't good enough that we weren't even in the mix for getting the first header, but how the boy was able to do a turn and shot at the 2-yard mark,
it's just the second ball, yeah, it's getting us to the second ball,
and ridiculous, man, absolutely ridiculous,
you know. And then again, our crazy 10 minutes period where we just look at odds and evens, and then we give away a ridiculous, stupid penalty. I mean, I've like, one of the, if you go into our Discord, you'll see a slowed down version of the penalty. It almost looks like, I mean, in real time, it looked like an absolute shoo-in for a penalty, but I look back on a really slow-mo replay of it, and Kinnear, I'm in two minds where he actually touched them, but there was certainly no complaints from the players, so you just think he must have touched them, because it did look in real time a total shoo-in, but it doesn't matter if he touched him. It was absolutely stupid defending. Blaine Rowe, I thought he did really well, and then he passed it, and then you think, well, there's two people there. There's Brad McKay, and then the goalkeeper started coming forward for it. It's like, one easy we deal with, and then the keeper decided to deal with it, but it was too short to it, and then just, oh.
I actually, Greg, on you go.
Sorry, Ross. I think that's where Big Brad's got to take the sort of responsibility. He's the more senior one out of the three of them there, and he's got to give the call to go either put it out or put out for a throw or pass it to the keeper. But it's as if none of them actually made the call, and the keeper made the late call and came out. But if you watch it again, there's no need for the keeper to actually come out there, because there's the two of them could probably deal with, maybe shuffle it out. Again, it's 10-minute spells that we have, and we just seem to lose the plot. It's the same at East End Park. We lost that first goal, and that was it. We lost the second, and then we lost the two at home to Dunfermline as well. It was that sort of right after kickoff, switching off. For the big games coming up, we're going to have to be switched on 100% if we're wanting to go up through the playoffs or get to the cup final. I think McGlynn will need to have a look at that. I don't know, he must scratch his head wondering what's going on, because, I mean, we've got a settled back four now. It's been changing all season, but we've had a settled back four and goalkeeper now for a while, and we still seem to be making silly mistakes when you've got sort of two experienced centre-backs that have played at a higher level, and then you've got a young right-back who I've been quite impressed with him, but for me, I think maybe now, seeing as we've got into the playoffs, maybe give him a little rest for the playoffs, because he has played a lot of football since he's come in. Mm-hmm. I know he's just a young boy, but he maybe just needs that rest just for his mind, and then back to it for the end of the season. But that might come sort of if we win Tuesday, then we've got Alloa and what Peterhead left. He'll probably rest a few players come then, because like McGinn, you can tell he's tired over the season. He's a completely different player to what he was at the start of the season. McGlynn keeps coming out saying,
start of the season, absolute Rolls Royce up there.
Yeah.
But as we keep saying, he's just had a young kid, and I honestly am putting his form changed as soon as he had the kid, and I honestly think the lack of sleep and all that plays into that. I am convinced about that, because I know what it's like being a young dad.
But for me now, I'd be taking getting McGinn out of the team for a couple of weeks now, because apparently was it his hamstring was affecting his knee, or his knee was affecting his hamstring, or something like that. Just give him a rest now. Give him the time to go and get some rest in that, because there's no really any need for him now. We've got Max in the middle. We've got Hendo. We've got Yeats that could come. We've got the players in the midfield now that can play. Probably Nesbitt could probably drop back into that role as well, because you need his energy in there. I think he was a big miss on Saturday as well, the energy of him running about. I know a lot of people don't rate him either, but for what I've heard, he runs about 10k a game. He's always running about. And if you actually watch him, he's always running. And I think he would be good, I think, with Oliver and Burrell up front. He could probably be the one that opens it up as well and plays the ball through, because he's got that in his game. But I just don't think he gets let to roam. Because I think at the start of last season, for what I remember, he was playing in that sort of 10 role in behind the striker, and he was really good. But I think he's been put out wide. But to be fair, he's done well this season with his assists. But he was definitely the missed on Saturday with his energy. I think the middle of the park with Max and Hendo, you can't blame the two of them. Played quite well, but we were missing something in the middle of the park there.
Certainly when you're going 2-1 down at that point, and it took till 70th minute for us to change that. I mean, I think a lot of people were, there was a lot of dissension in the stands, I think, off the back of the personnel change and the formation change. And there was a lot of dissension and shouting for him to change it, you know, and I've not heard that this season. That's the first time I've really heard that this season. There was a lot of murmurings in the stand. And you can guess why, because, you know, we've seen this movie so many times over the last couple of weeks of us switching off. But yeah, obviously the subs come on, Burrell, Nesbitt come on 70th minute, Jordan Allen and Finn Yeats come on a bit later on. Again, I don't think there was we didn't create that many chances when we were 2-1 down. You know, we were kind of huffing and puffing a wee bit, and, you know, there was a couple where we, you know, I think Leon got down the wing at one occasion. There was a touch for Oliver, which was just over, but
as that the one where Oliver just over, that was the one where Leon had done a fantastic one down the left, didn't he?
Yeah, Leon looked like he was back on form. Unfortunately, it seems to be when one player comes back into form, the other player, I mean, Blaine's been slightly out of form over the last week. Well, I think we'll all agree on that. And then when Morrison's been out, I mean, Morrison didn't do much on Saturday. I mean, I was crying for him to come off, because he didn't do much, you know. again, just players come in, and Cole Donaldson's another player that's out of form, and the Brad's probably in for. And it's just like you just want them all to click at the one time into form, because we'd, you know, we'd be unstoppable then. But and Kai Kennedy was out of form and he's back in form, you know, with another goal there. And it's just like, oh, you just want them all to come into form. But getting to the goal, the subs come on. As Greg says, Yeats with the cross over to Liam Henderson, who, by the way, was unbelievable on Saturday. He covered every acre of that park, winning challenges, was always available at the back post for headers and things like that, especially in the first half. I thought Hendo was unbelievable. But he gets the crossover, and there's, shock horror, a striker in the six-yard box to tap the ball in from close range. And that's what you need, you know. Gary Oliver, there's been a lot of criticism about, right? Gary Oliver's a very good footballer, right? See the work he does. Again, we've talked about it constantly on this podcast. Again, on Saturday, just that bringing into play, back to goal. But like you're saying, Greg, see going with two up, especially when you're at home to Airdrie. Go with a two up, especially when you've got a striker that's in form and scoring goals and plays well. You know, we've seen that they work well together as a two. Maybe Jordan and Ramar not so much, but as a two, that combination works.
Yeah.
So go for it, you know, and play two up. And like I say, if, you know, we were 1-0 up, see if we John McGlynn went, right, I'll just roll it, you know, they won't be expecting this. I'll throw in an extra striker here.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll sacrifice Callum Morrison, who's been very quiet. We'll put Cat, and then we'll put up Romain Borrell into that. You know, it would have totally thrown them, in my opinion. But, you know.
John, I think you're right. I think you would have thrown them. But that's the kind of bit of magic that we were not doing. And if you look at Airdrie on Saturday, McCabe done it. If you go back to the week before, Dunfermline done it. Where teams are really far. Some managers and coaches are so quick to change things. We just seem to be so pedestrian at what we're going to do. And it took us to go two goals, concede two goals on Saturday for them to even look at making a change.
Yeah. We got the point, though. And I think a point should hopefully be enough to get us into that second spot. You know, the second spot's not the be-all and end-all, because all it does is give home advantage in the second leg, which, I mean, obviously could be a big advantage come the playoffs. But going, we need to rethink. If it's going to be Airdrie, which I think it probably will be, we are going to have a serious think about how we're going to deal with those two games.
Absolutely.
Because you know, when you look at it, I mean, we kind of said, we actually thought it might be a draw when you looked at the results from across the season. You know, that's two draws, 1-1 for us, 1-1 for them. But they're a good footballing side. They've got some very good players in that side, you know, especially when it comes to their striking options and their forward players.
But I think all games this season, though, John, have been the same. The game that they beat us at the start of the season where they hammered us, we were in that game right up until, I think we got, somebody got sent off, then we got, was it an injury or something like that, and we were down to nine.
That's right.
And then I think Big Wan missed a sitter within about 10 minutes. He was through 1-1 and he miskicked the ball. So, and then obviously they went on and scored. And then the game that we played at Airdrie and we won, we could have scored about 6 or 7 in that game. It was, I think every game's been sort of similar. The two games at the stadium have been exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I fully expect that to be the same over the two legs again. I think both managers will go tight and just hope that it'll go sort of who blinks first. But hopefully McGlynn's sort of knowledge in that if against a younger manager. But again, he seems to sort of struggle a little bit against the younger managers. Younger managers seem to have put this sort of little bit more imagination in, and it seems to sort of spur their teams on, where he just sort of does his usual changes in that. But I mean, we can't blame him. Look what he's done this season. It's been, considering we lost 16 games last season, we've lost 6 this season.
Yeah.
The guy's done, he's worked miracles with what he's got, but it's just a wee bit more imagination that if he puts it in, I think we could. But again, was he doing that on Saturday, not giving his hand away for the playoffs, thinking we're playing Airdrie? If we show the diamond now, will they switch on and they'll plan for the diamond? Because probably Airdrie will plan. And I would not be surprised if we've got Airdrie the first leg away, he'll play with one up front, with Oliver up front again. He'll start that, and then it'll be the second leg will be when he'll go for the... But what you don't want to do is he does that and we're out of sight, we're in the second leg, that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And Greg, you almost intimated it there, the post match interview. Does Lewis not say something like, "You've changed from the diamond to the back to the usual"? And then John went, "Oh well, I was can I keep it a secret or something?" He said something like that, didn't he?
Well, let's hear from John McGowan right now as Lewis caught up with him after the game.
John, 2-2. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought first half we were very good. I think we deserved to be one up, possibly maybe more. Airdrie had created nothing, really. We only had to defend one corner kick just on the stroke of half time. And so, yeah, we were in, started the game well, in control, passed the ball fairly well. Good goal in transition, a really, really good goal. Gary Oliver finding Callum breaking forward, strike at goal, comes off the goalkeeper. And initially, Gary was there and it's managed to fall for Kai and showed good composure to score. And I thought we merited being ahead at half time and, as I say, maybe possibly more. But we've no start of the second half. You know, credit to Airdrie, they did really, really well. They've stepped things up. We've no reacted. You know, Airdrie are a team that have been free flowing and scoring loads of goals. And so you would never have seen that in the first half. So we had to expect Airdrie to, you know, to pick things up from their point of view. And we've got to be ready for that, you know. And we've had other games like this where we've done well in the first half, coming out the second half, and not quite been, you know, the same. Whether we think that the game's just going to pan out like that, you know, we sit at half time, you know, you've got to realise that that's not their best shot, you know. So if they come out and do something, we've got to be ready and prepared for it. And it looked like we weren't. As much as the goals have come from a corner kick, which we're really disappointed about, to lose a goal to that type of thing is disappointing from our point of view defensively. And then we make an error, which results in a penalty kick. So a bit disappointed the way that we're starting the second half. A little bit disappointed to the initial reaction to going 2-1 down. But delighted because it's a very important goal, a really, really important goal to keep the 5-point gap. It's massive. And we showed that bit of resilience towards the end of the game to come back and get a point from from what looked like it was going to be a defeat.
And that's the thing, it's psychologically important as well, because realistically there's a very high chance that Falkirk and Airdrie may well meet in the playoff campaign.
Yeah, I think we've been expecting that to be the case for a wee while now, you know. So yeah, we're expecting to play Airdrie in the playoffs. Yeah, it's important that we finish in second place. Yeah, the home advantage in the second game is going to be so important, and that's our, you know, that was our target today. That was our aim, to try and get that, make it 8 points. A possible 9 to play. Obviously, we've got a 5-point lead. We 9 to play for. We've got a game here on Tuesday night that we want to try and take full advantage of, and over the next couple of games, put that to bed. So that is the aim. That is the target.
Two things you said there, John, was one, at the start of the second half, you didn't think the guys were quite ready for Airdrie reacting, and second, you said you were a little bit disappointed in how they reacted going 2-down. Yeah. Is that a psychology thing then, that the guys maybe just need to work through?
Yeah, you've got to keep concentrated in the game, you know, and I think that we maybe just, we shouldn't have, you know, we shouldn't get caught out, You've got to be ready to go, you know, I just think, you know, the Airdrie should not have been able to up it and us get caught out, but that's what happened. You know, they kind of went, they've not done so well, probably get a rocket at half time, come out all guns blazing, and we were found wanting, you know. So we have to, as I say, I was a little bit disappointed because I'm looking for characters to come to the fore when we're in that kind of situation, and that was disappointing. Didn't quite see that, but you know, we did rally at the end. Romano's took a, you know, an opportunity. Liam Henderson won a number of headers in the box, you know, first half, mostly in the first half, but we didn't get anyone on the end of them, and that was disappointing, because you've got to recognise that he's going to win that header and need to get in a position, and thankfully Romarin did, and it was a really good finish. You know, I've seen those missed. He took it really, really well, and we're delighted to see that's a huge goal. It's a massive goal when the situation that we want to finish second in the league, and to get that, you know, gap and keep the gap that we had.
We jokingly asked Romarin if after two goals and two home games would he be knocking your door this week, and he said he was too polite for that, but joking aside, does he play his way back into your thoughts?
Well, Romarin's always got in your thoughts. You know, he did well against Dunfermline, he did well against Montrose, you know, we picked a team here that was very, very, very close to the team that beat Airdrie. Airdrie, you know, there was only one change, and the way we played that day led us to think that we could play that way here. We didn't quite do that, but every day is a school day. Every day is a school day, and we learn from every game.
Played a little bit more of the interview out than we normally do, because I was just interested to hear his thoughts on the kind of Lewis. But in fairness, Lewis asked some really good questions there in terms of the psychology and everything that was involved in asking about Romarin, because it's all the questions that we wanted to ask ourselves. You know, it's like, why drop Romarin when he's in form? You know, and talks about played well against Montrose, played well against Dunfermline. Why drop him then?
Exactly.
I don't understand. You know,
I think the only thing that's sort of was a bit confused about the interview is when he was going, I know it's a laughing thing, but every day is a school day. At this time of the season, we shouldn't be thinking that every day is a school day. He should know exactly what's happening here. Because he shouldn't be, obviously, he's changed the formation. It was working well that game against Dunfermline, but for me, it's too late. If he had maybe started that, maybe, like, obviously, we went on that run. That's probably why he didn't change it, because we went on that long run where we won all the games. And then, obviously, I think the game that sort of took us off path was the Alloa game, scoring right near the end, and then they went up 95th minute, got a penalty. And then since then, obviously we lost to Dunfermline, we beat Ayr, and then it's just been sort of drab since then. It's as if we've went, right, we've got to the cup final, looks like we're in the playoffs, the players are like, well, we can't be bored now. And then when you've got your manager, all the years' experience he's got, going every day is a school day, I know that he'll learn new things now with football, but your thing, he should know exactly his plan for the playoffs and the rest of the season. And then if you watch Burrell's interview as well, he doesn't look very happy when he's getting interviewed there. It's as if he's fed up as well. And because he must be chomping at the bit, I think. I think out with the top goal scorer, Gallagher, he's goals per minute. He's the second best goals per minute goal scorer in the league, in how many games he's played. And he can't seem to get a sniff. I don't know if any of us were down at Dumfries when we beat them at the start of the season. That's probably the best performance we've had all season, and it was Morrison, Kennedy and Burrell up front. They three have only started three games all season together. Three out of all the games we've played, he's tried that, and that was probably one of the best games.
Yeah.
Played the three, we won one, drew one and lost one, but he's never tried that again. And, I mean, that day was glorious down there. The three of them had them in behind. Morrison was down the right, Kennedy was down the left, Burrell was pulling right, and Morrison was going in. Burrell must be pulling his hair out that he can't get a game, and for me, if it keeps up that I can't see him staying next season, he'll probably go somewhere where he'll get game time, I would say, which is a shame.
I think it might come down to what league we're in as well.
Yep.
I think, although that said, there's a huge thing, even if you were to get promoted and he gets an improved contract offer, if he's still not going to play, then he might still want to go.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one. I don't get it personally. I agree with you. The whole every day's a school day. I'm sorry, but see, April, mid-April, that's not a comment you want to hear. You should, as you're saying, you should know your lineup. You should know your players, what they're capable of, and how you're going to go out and win the game. And it kind of feels like, just as you've said, and I suppose John said it as well, is that it's no good enough that we're finding new things out about our players at this stage of the season.
No, I've got alluded to it earlier on, just talking about the stats we got sent. So here's, listen to this. So I've not, Ross, who do these come? Have these come from a good source?
It's from a very good source in terms of someone who collects a lot of Fokker KMI, yes.
Right, okay. Well, listen to these stats, right, because they're quite interesting. And, you know, and let's just part how far we've come a long way under McGinn. I really, you know, we are a lot miles ahead of where we are, but listen to these. McCracken and Miller, we had 59 points from 32 under John McGinn, 61 points from 33. Cal Morrison hasn't scored in the last 9 league games, which coincides with our poor run. You know, I think Cal's had a bit of a drop in form. We've taken 7 points in the last 21. It would be 4 points ahead with 3 to play if we'd won our last 7. That's a long ifs, buts and maybes there. Even if we'd drawn with Dunfermline, we'd be 1 ahead, right? goal involvement from outfield January signings. Max has got two, Jordan Allen's got one, Blaine Rowe has got zero, and Matt Wright has got zero. Not great business. We get more goals from starting lineup of Kennedy, Nesbitt, Henderson, Morrison, Burrow, and Oliver. Amazingly, PJ Morrison has our best record of the keepers, 15.5 games, 13 goals. Kinnear, 10 games, 10 goals. Nicky was 17 with 19 goals. And Paddy is 1.5 games with 3 goals. In the league, we've lost more goals per game since Blaine Rowe came into the side to shore up the defence and give it balance. Surprising stats there. Surprising stats. But I think you will agree we're, we're miles ahead of where we are. Blaine Rowe, we needed a right back. Blaine's had a bit out of form. So much the fact that when we, you know, there is a chance, and like you were saying earlier on, Greg, do you give Ryan Williamson a route on Tuesday? I'd probably say yes, you do.
Yeah, I think teams are targeting a right back area. I think they can see, I mean, Blaine's a good, really good player, but you can see he's sort of just needing that wee sort of maybe just a wee breather and then just refreshed for the sort of end games of the season. I mean, Give Williamson two games. It's not really matter. Like, he might get some stick for the fans, but or give Yeats at right back. He started the season at right back. He played quite well. If he's no one to play Williamson, just give the young boy a wee break. I mean, I know you'll say he's a young boy in that, but it's sort of mentally just to take him out of the team for a wee bit, give him, and then right, go again. Because it's probably the semi final team will probably pick itself from sort of back to maybe the middle of the park, but he's got to probably go with the one up front in the semi-final again, because Inverness are on, I think they're on a 5-match winning spree as well. So they're coming into form as well at the sort of the time where we are sort of. But I mean, again, a win, at least we're not getting beat.
Well, that's
a win tomorrow, and then sort of that gives us the game on Saturday at Alloa. It's probably meaningless on Saturday, but I mean, Alloa can still pip Airdrie, so they'll probably still be up for it as well.
Which I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind.
Yep, you would
mind us getting beat on
Saturday. Well, yep.
If we won on Tuesday, I wouldn't mind.
If you win Tuesday night, it's not that you ever want to lose a game, but personally, I would. And this might.
We might have to play Airdrie at some point.
True.
Because Airdrie are going good guns, and Hamilton are.
I'd probably prefer to play them in the semi final, the playoffs, rather than the final, because I think I'd probably rather play either. It'll be with Alloa. I'd love to play Cove and relegate Hartley. If they were to get out of that mess, that would be amazing. But it's probably looking like it'll be Hamilton if we were to get past Airdrie. But big ifs and buts at the moment. But we've just got to keep...
It is ifs, buts and maybes at the moment in Falkirk. Yeah, but let's go and see what the rest of the supporters are saying. Monroe says our biggest problem isn't the forward position, it's the defence. The goals conceded were shocking, and it's been happening all season. Basic mistakes from balls in the box have cost us so many points. Yeah, so many switch-off points for the defenders. Yeah,
hard to disagree. Bill says, we seem to have these spells of madness in every game, sometimes just 10 minutes that have cost us so many points this season, and again today. They were never in it until we allowed them to be. Frustrating, but our fans have to stop booing the team the minute we go behind.
Yeah, I always agree with that. Always back a team. Never boo. Simon, confidence is draining throughout the team. Supposed safe ball played too often and regularly puts us under pressure when we are a far better team in front foot. Serious change in game plan and mindset requires to get through the playoff and the semi.
Grant says, change back to the shape that had stopped working. Second half was awful. McGlynn has to be questioned. Midfield and defence were missing. Donaldson, Rowe and McGinn all look miles off it. I'm also fed up seeing Oliver as the lone striker.
Yeah, I mean, like John said in his interview, Henderson had so many, like, at the back post in that first half, and you think, because Gary Oliver's out back there doing the work, he's not in that box, and you just think Burrow would probably be in there. But
that's what we said, John. The three players were mentioned there that were saying are a bit out of form. We kind of could take them out of the team for a couple of games just to give them a bit of rest and bring them back in. I mean, it seems to be every week it's the same sort of players that are, but and give them that wee rest. It has been a long season, I think, but it started off. There was a game against Kilmarnock at a friendly for the Kevin McAllister opening.
Yeah, end of June.
Yeah, so the players have been sort of playing and training since then. So to give them that wee rest, have sort of deserved it, got the cup semi coming. I mean, we're all doom and gloom, but if you had said to us at the start of the season we'd been a semi final with the Scottish Cup and we'd be sitting second looking to go into the playoffs, you would have bitten the hand off, eh? So I think we've just got to be pleased with what we've seen this season, and then
But aye, we're Falkirk supporters, Greg. We're Falkirk supporters.
I know.
We've got to moan. If Burrow, Logan says, if Burrow is not the first name in the team sheet every week, then McGuinn must be watching a different game. I back the manager fully, but questions need to be asked of the team selection and tactics today.
Mm, yeah, and they did. Mickey says, one, Burrow surely must start. And two, did not imagine I'd be thinking it'd be a good idea to get Ryan Williamson on. A shocker from Rowe. And number three, I really want Jordan Allen to do well, but he hasn't looked any better than Oliver when he's came on. Doesn't inspire confidence for the playoffs.
I think Jordan Allen, I think next season we'll see hopefully the best of Jordan Allen. And again, it will depend on our formation. And like you were saying earlier on, Greg, you know, quite played to his strengths with the 4-4-2 rigid formation.
I think he'd play well off Oliver Allen. I think he'd be able to get in behind in that. And I think him as a two would be pretty decent.
I actually thought they linked up okay at Montrose, to be honest. I thought they did okay together.
Yeah, I think Jordan just needs a goal to get it going. That's all he needs. I mean, he got it. He claimed it at Kelty anyway. But Mark says tactic of running the opposition ragged and tie them isn't working because we're not scoring enough. We're on top. Airdrie team talk was obviously about getting next goal, and they had all the momentum after that. Our decision making was poor and defence too casual as always. Yeah, Call was been having a bit out of confidence. He started off, I thought, really short in confidence on Saturday, but came into the game. And I love the big guy. You know I love the big guy. But another player that, you know, if Mackie comes, is fit again, you can maybe see Mackie coming back in just to rest up Call, you know, and you talk about McGinn, Morrison, and probably Rowe as well, are the four that are out of form at the moment.
Well, see, just before we read any more out, John, obviously going by the stats that came over there, is there an argument, and I don't know if there is, but is there an argument if our best defensive pairing of Donaldson and Henderson, and we've got a lot of midfielders there, do we move Hendo back into centre half? I don't know what the answer is.
What about Brad McKay, because I want to sing the song.
Well, that's true.
Did McKay and Henderson not play Clyde the first game of Drew 3-each, and it was an absolute disaster though? Remember that one?
I can't remember actually. I remember McKay not having a great game, but I couldn't tell you.
I think Donaldson was, I think he was out with an illness, I think, from what I remember, and it was Hendo that played.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you might be right, Greg, actually. Yeah.
I think Williamson just came back from injury after his 3 months out, and he had to go off after 70 minutes or something like that. With another injury, it was...
That's right.
But, I mean, you never know. He might try that up. One of the games surprise somebody, put Hendo at the back, maybe Airdrie first leg. Yeah. You never know. And
tighten it up.
Yeah.
Good shout. Riley says, is it just me, or does it seem like Kinnear is making multiple costly mistakes every game recently and doesn't seem to have the consistency right now that we need for the end of the season push? More defensive mistakes too, leading to easy goals for the opponents every single game.
And let's finish off with Robert. He says, I'm going to spin it positively. Today was a kick in the nuts for Airdrie, and we absolutely bodied them in February. Get Edinburgh pumped midweek, and Airdrie are flat for four games while we go to Hampden. Bring on the next 6 weeks. Absolutely buzzing for it. Ending on the positive. That's what we're
doing. Come on.
There we go.
Right, okay, boys. I'm going to get you to pick a Falkirk Daft rated player from the whole week. So that includes Montrose and Airdrie. I think there's probably only one name that's going to get this one, to be honest with you. Ross.
I'm going to go by Kendo.
Kendo? I thought you Kai Kennedy with three goals in two games. No,
I'm going to go with Hendo, actually, because actually I thought he did brilliantly on Saturday, and I don't think we would have been in the game offensively without him. And he did very well midweek too. So, no, for me, I'm going to go with Hendo, but absolute special mention to Kai Kennedy. Good, brilliant couple of games.
Greg?
Kai Kennedy would have been for me. I think he's two in midweek and then one there. He seems to be getting his form back when it is coming back in at the right time. So hopefully the rest of them can get back in at the same time for the push.
I've got this, because for me it's either Kennedy or Hendo. I wasn't at Montrose, however, so I'm going to give it to Hendo because I thought the big man was all over the place. I mean, obviously, man of the match, the sponsors gave it to Kai Kennedy there at the weekend, but I thought Hendo was magnificent on Saturday, and obviously got the assist for the goal. So big man gets just in order for me because I wasn't at Montrose. Sorry, Kai. And that, you know, the fact that Kai Kennedy scored with a header, he really should just get that on merit alone. So yeah, that's Falkirk Daft rated. Here we go then, Falkirk Dafty for the week. Ross.
Do you know, it's a tough one. I'm not really having anyone in my head from Tuesday night, to be honest, but from Saturday, going back to what Greg was saying earlier on, I thank Brad Mackay, song aside, it's a good song he's got, but the decision not to clear that ball on Saturday was huge. So on that alone, if I'm being honest, I'm going to give it to Brad Mackay.
All right, Greg.
Yeah, I agree with Ross. I think he's the experienced person out of the three of them there, and he should have taken the reins and just told them what to do. Usually the keeper takes the shout, but he should have been taking control of that situation and just told them the ball's gone out. So for Mackay, for me as well.
Well, I'm going to say the keeper was at fault for the penalty. So it's like a whodunit. So I'm going to give it to Big Brian for the Falkirk Daft Day of the Week. So there we go. Right, okay then. Thank you very much for coming on, Greg. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much, guys. Doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thanks very much. Thank you. And if you want to be just like Greg and be a guest pundit, you can do that. Check out the links below or drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or email us. Falkirk, I don't know what to say to this.
You're talking about this part, don't you?
Ross, John, Falkirk, falkirkdaft.co.uk. Drop us an email, all right.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Right, we're tight on time today, so let's quickly look ahead to the games we've got coming up this week. Doubleheader, starting off Tuesday night against Edinburgh, then finishing up on Saturday away to Alloa. Edinburgh, what do you go with, Ross? What changes do you make?
I do think we need to freshen up. I think we need to revert back to what the winning formula or better formula has been in recent weeks. So for me, that's a formation change and 100% Burrow starting the game. And I don't, it's hard because you don't want to put Burrow into this superstar corner because he's not, right? But he's been very, very, very effective when he's played this year. And it's crazy that he's not the first name on the offensive lineup just now. So for me, him starting is a big thing. Do you know the young, I think we do need to freshen it up a little bit. I don't know if I'd make too many changes. Keeper would be a change for me. I think Morrison should come back in on the basis that there's a numerous tallying up of mistakes by Kinnear in the last 5-6 weeks. So I would give PJ Morrison, and obviously I know you've mentioned the other Williamson coming back in for Rowe, which may well happen too.
Yeah, I think a few changes made. Edinburgh, really in poor form. They've really dropped out. I think the heads have gone down there. They started off so well. Only 2 points from the last five compared to our... we've been unbeaten in five, but that's 7 points in five for us over the last few games. Edinburgh look like... they're not going to get the playoffs now with the resurgence of Queen of the South there as well, and Al have come into decent form as well. So, yeah, Donald Johnson, our resident Stato, has been in touch. He says, FC Edinburgh's last six results are 1-0, drawn 2, lost 4, and they've only scored 3 goals. Surely we will beat them convincingly, at least 3-0. Right, Donald, fingers crossed on that one. What are you thinking, Ross?
Any win will do, if I'm being honest, John. Obviously, the history tells you that we probably should score a few goals, but I would take any win just to almost seal it, if not mathematically, probably. And because we obviously got Alloa, and then what's the last game? Peterhead. And you would think Peterhead will probably be relegated by the looks of things by that last game of the season. So, yeah. So, for me, any win will do. I'll take a 1-0.
I think we'll beat them 2-0. I think we get the win tomorrow. That's second in the bag, and you know, absolutely. So fingers crossed. We'll see you down at the stadium tomorrow night, and then it's on to Alloa away. I won't be making it because I'm going up a hill on Saturday. Ross, you heading on to Alloa?
Do you know I'm not actually for the first Alloa game I'm going to miss. No, I've got a prior engagement down in Liverpool. I'm going to the Liverpool Nottingham Forest game.
So yeah, I forgot that.
This is obviously, as we know, my dad's a big Forest fan, and I've been looking forward to seeing them finally in a Premier League game. So that is coming at the sacrifice of Alloa away. But it's looking like Alloa's away on Saturday hopefully is not as meaningful as it may otherwise have been. So it'll be a tough game. Alloa's been quite a tough opponent in the last, in fact, all season, Or that first game at the stadium.
You know how Brian Rice will set out against us? Yeah. He's got a big, physical, strong team that Aloe are. Connor Salmon obviously leading the line up there, but they've got good players over the park as well. Particularly been impressed by Ross McIver and Luke Donnelly there. We'll see how we do against them, but yeah, we know what to expect. We're going to have a big physical game against them. We did all right the last time. Obviously, that last minute penalty really gave us the game away there. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But as you say, if we win on Tuesday night, it's a free hit for me. It's a free hit.
It will be. If we can win Tuesday night, it is a free hit. And we may see him even making a few more changes. So guys like McGuffey and Yeats might get a game. Mackey, if he's fit, might get some game time as well. Lowell, again, if Lowell's maybe close to some sort of fitness, might get some minutes as well.
Yeah, Airdrie, I think, are at Dunfermline or Dunfermline?
They are. Yes.
And Aloe obviously has. So it should be interesting. You know, there's 2 points between Aloe and Airdrie. I think we're going to have to face Airdrie at some point anyway, because I think whoever finishes in fourth will probably be able to have enough to beat second bottom of the championship, I think, at this point. But you never know. You never know. It's all ifs, buts, and maybes. That's the name of this week's show, I think. But yeah, we'll see how we go. But fingers crossed, win tomorrow night, free hit against Al. What do you think the score will be? I guess it depends on tomorrow night's game.
I think it's too close to if tomorrow, if Tuesday night doesn't go as planned, then it probably does then mean our strongest lineup will face Alloa. So yeah, I don't know. I do you know, I'm even if we make changes, I'm gonna say it's not like me not say a win, but I think it might be a draw on Saturday. I'm going to go one each.
I'll second that. I think we'll just get a draw. Get the win tomorrow night, get a draw on Saturday and up for second. So let's take that. We'll see you at the stadium tomorrow night.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk. That's been a belter of an episode. Remember, we've got a competition. Check out the links below for that, for the Kai Kennedy signed t-shirt, courtesy of Falkirk Football Society. And thanks again for the picture from Fitbat Tweets. Remember, check out the YouTube version. See our beautiful places, including Heiko Vokal, who's been a guest appearance on this week's show. Thank you, Heiko, for joining us. You follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Falkirk Daft. Merch. Get your cup final merch. There's time running out in terms of delivery. Have I missed it? Do we have a 20% off? I think we do.
No, that's still to come, isn't it? No, I think the 20% off still to come.
20% off still to come. Keep your eyes, because it's coming really, really soon. Keep your eyes on the channel so you can we'll have that on really, really soon. And obviously, you can get your bucket hats. Go mad for the bucket. I bought one. I succumbed to peer pressure and I bought one, so I'll have one. My 10-year-old daughter said, "Dad, you really don't suit that." So there you go. Helped by a 10-year-old. So but well, I'll have it on for the cup soon. Don't worry, though. And if you want to drop, discuss everything to do with the podcast, Falkirk, we've got a great new Discord channel on the go as well. All the links for that are below. And of course, if you want to sponsor the show, like we had, thanks again to Haldane Construction last week. But you can do that. Drop us an email as well. Ads. I make some that sales at falkirkdaft.co.uk. Sales at falkirkdaft.co.uk. Right, Edinburgh next. Aloe after that. Hopefully we'll be back here with second place in our hands next Monday. But until then,
expect unexpected, buddy. Always.